اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل، نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أستغفر الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم الرحمن الرحيم ذو الجلال والإكرام وأتوب إليه. اللهم أكن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. Allah, the nights of the month of Ramadan are coming to an end. Next week, this time, would be in the second night of the month of Shawwal. I want to thank you again, Ya Allah, for all the blessings you blessed me with this month of Ramadan. I was worried perhaps this year it just won't be the same. But you showed that you're the Lord, you give your blessings. You're not limited to the means we see. The means are what you provide. Alhamdulillah. I confess though, I could have made better use of my time. I could have read more of your Qur'an. I could have spent more time reflecting. I was busy with other things that I should have let go of, Ya Allah. I ask you to forgive me. Forgive me of my shortcomings. I don't know what I said, what I asked for, if it was worthy. I'm certain if it was worthy that you will answer those du'as, those prayers and supplications. But I'm not sure if my supplications were proper, and so I don't know if they were heard. I want to ask you again, Ya Allah. Whatever shortcoming there was in those du'as, whatever obstacle there was for them ascending and reaching you, I ask you by the right of the Ahlul Bayt that you forgive me, that you relieve me of those shortcomings, that you remove those obstacles from my du'as, inshallah they are answered. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma inni aftatihu al-thana'a bihamdik wa anta musaddidun lis-sawab bimannik wa ayqantu annaka anta arhamur rahimina fi mawdi'il 'afwi war-rahma wa ashaddul mu'aqibina fi mawdi'in nakali wan-naqima وأعظم المتجبرين في موضع الكبرياء والعظمة. اللهم أذنت لي في دعائك ومسألتك فاسمع يا سميع مدحتي وأجب يا رحيم دعوتي وأقل يا غفور عثرتي فكم يا إلهي من كربة قد فرجتها وهموم قد كشفتها وعثرة قد أقلتها ورحمة قد نشرتها وحلقة بلاء قد فككتها. الحمد لله الذي لم يتخذ صاحبة ولا ولدا ولم يكن له شريك في الملك ولم يكن له ولي من الذل وكبره تكبيرا. الحمد لله بجميع محامده كلها على جميع نعمه كلها. الحمد لله الذي لا مضاد له في ملكه ولا منازع له في أمره. الحمد لله الذي لا شريك له في خلقه ولا شبيه له في عظمته. الحمد لله الفاشي في الخلق أمره وحمده، الظاهر بالكرم مجده، الباسط بالجود يده، الذي لا تنقص خزائنه ولا تزيده كثرة العطاء إلا جودا وكرما، إنه هو العزيز الوهاب. اللهم إني أسألك قليلا من كثير مع حاجة بي إليه عظيما وغناك عنه قديم، وهو عندي كثير وهو عليك سهل يسير. اللهم إن عفوك عن ذنبي وتجاوزك عن خطيئتي وصفحك عن ظلمي وسترك على قبيح عملي وحلمك عن كثير جرمي عندما كان من خطئي وعمدي، أطمعني في أن أسألك ما لا أستوجبه منك، الذي رزقتني من رحمتك وأريتني من قدرتك وعرفتني من إجابتك، فصرت أدعوك آمنا وأسألك مستأنسا لا خائفا ولا وجلا، مدلا عليك فيما قصدت فيه إليك، فإن أبطأ عني عتبت بجهلي عليك، ولعل الذي أبطأ عني هو خير لي لعلمك بعاقبة الأمور، ف فلم أرى مولا كريما أصبر على عبد لئيم منك عليه. يا ربي إنك تدعوني فأولي عنك وتتحبب إلي فأتبغض إليك وتتودد إلي فلا أقبل منك كأن لي التطول عليك. فلم يمنعك ذلك من الرحمة لي والإحسان إلي والتفضل علي بجودك وكرمك. فارحم عبدك الجاهل وجد عليه بفضل إحسانك، إنك جواد كريم. الحمد لله مالك الملك مجري الفلك مسخر الرياح فالق الإصباح ديان الدين رب العالمين. الحمد لله على حلمه بعد علمه، والحمد لله على عفوه بعد قدرته، والحمد لله على طول أناته في غضبه وهو قادر على ما يريد. الحمد لله خالق الخلق باسط الرزق فالق الإصباح ذي الجلال والإكرام والفضل والإنعام، الذي بعد فلا يرى وقرب فشهد النجوى تبارك وتعالى. الحمد لله الذي ليس له منازع يعادله ولا شبيه يشاكله ولا ظهير يعاضده، قهر بعزته الأعزاء وتواضع لعظمته العظماء فبلغ بقدرته ما يشاء. الحمد لله الذي يجيبني حين أناديه ويستر علي كل عورة وأنا أعصيه، ويعظم النعمة علي فلا أجازيه. فكم من موهبة هنيئة قد أعطاني، وعظيمة مخوفة قد كفاني، وبهجة مونقة قد أراني. فأثني عليه حامدا وأذكره مسبحا. الحمد لله الذي لا يهتك حجابه ولا يغلق بابه ولا يرد سائله ولا يخيب آمله. الحمد لله الذي يؤمن الخائفين وينجي الصالحين ويرفع المستضعفين ويضع المستكبرين ويهلك ملوكا ويستخلف آخرين. والحمد لله قاصم الجبارين مبير الظالمين مدرك الهاربين نكال الظالمين صريخ المستصرخين موضع حاجات الطالبين معتمد المؤمنين. الحمد لله الذي من خشيته ترعد السماء وسكانها وترجف الأرض وعمارها وتموج البحار ومن يسبح في غمراتها. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. الحمد لله الذي يخلق ولم يخلق ويرزق ولا يرزق ويطعم ولا يطعم ويميت الأحياء ويحيي الموتى وهو حي لا يموت بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير. اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك وأمينك وصفيك وحبيبك وخيرتك من خلقك وحافظ سرك ومبلغ رسالاتك أفضل وأحسن وأجمل وأكمل وأزكى وأنمى وأطيب وأطهر وأسنى وأكثر ما صليت وباركت وترحمت وتحننت وسلمت على أحد من عبادك وأنبيائك ورسلك وصفوتك وأهل الكرامة عليك من خلقك اللهم وصل على علي أمير المؤمنين ووصي رسول رب العالمين عبدك ووليك وأخي رسولك وحجتك على خلقك وآيتك الكبرى والنبأ العظيم وصل على الصديقة الطاهرة فاطمة سيدة نساء العالمين وصل على سبطي الرحمة وإمامي الهدى الحسن والحسين سيدي شباب أهل الجنة وصل على أئمة المسلمين علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي والخلف الهادي المهدي حججك على عبادك وأمنائك في بلادك صلاة كثيرة دائمة اللهم وصل على ولي أمرك القائم المؤمل والعدل المنتظر وحفه بملائكتك المقربين وأيده بروح القدس يا رب العالمين اللهم اجعله الداعي إلى كتابك والقائم بدينك استخلفه في الأرض كما استخلفت الذين من قبله مكن له دينه الذي ارتضيته له أبدله من بعد خوفه أمنا يعبدك لا يشرك بك شيئا اللهم أعزه وأعزز به وانصره وانتصر به وانصره نصرا عزيزا وافتح له فتحا يسيرا واجعل له من لدنك سلطانا نصيرا اللهم أظهر به دينك وسنة نبيك حتى لا يستخفي بشيء من الحق مخافة أحد من الخلق اللهم إنا نرغب إليك في دولة كريمة تعز بها الإسلام وأهله وتذل بها النفاق وأهله وتجعلنا فيها من الدعاة إلى طاعتك والقادة إلى سبيلك وترزقنا بها كرامة الدنيا والآخرة اللهم ما عرفتنا من الحق فحملنا وما قصرنا عنه فبلغنا اللهم المن به شعثنا واشعب به صدعنا وارتق به فتقنا وكثر به قلتنا وأعزز به ذلتنا وأغن به عائلنا واقض به عن مغرمنا واجبر به فقرنا وسد به خلتنا ويسر به عسرنا وبيض به وجوهنا وفك به أسرنا وأنجح به طلبتنا وأنجز به مواعيدنا واستجب به دعوتنا وأعطنا به سؤلنا وبلغنا به من الدنيا والآخرة آمالنا وأعطنا به فوق رغبتنا يا خير المسؤولين وأوسع المعطين اشف به صدورنا وأذهب به غيظ قلوبنا واهدنا به لما اختلف فيه من الحق بإذنك إنك تهدي من تشاء إلى صراط مستقيم وانصرنا به على عدوك وعدونا إله الحق آمين اللهم إنا نشكو إليك فقد نبينا صلواتك عليه وآله وغيبة ولينا وكثرة عدونا وقلة عددنا وشدة الفتن بنا وتظاهر الزمان علينا فصل على محمد وآله وأعنا على ذلك بفتح منك تعجله وبضر تكشفه ونصر تعزه وسلطان حق تظهره ورحمة منك تجللنا وعافية منك تلبسنا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.
Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. I have a few announcements for you. I'd like to first request you all to recite the Surah Fatiha for all marhumin, mu'mineen and mu'minat, muslimin and muslimat, your marhumin, as well as all shuhada Islam. Fatiha. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. I would also like to take this opportunity to pray for all of the victims of the coronavirus pandemic. Al-Wilaya in its limited capacity has also played its role, and we reached out to certain families and made financial donations where we possibly could. Al-Wilaya has also conducted its annual stipends program, and alhamdulillah, there are families who came to Al-Wilaya and picked up the stipends as we were unable to deliver under the circumstances. So to all of the brothers, and especially to the brothers in SoCal that have been doing this for the past 10 years now, a loud salawat for them and on the volunteers and all the people who donated. So Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. As you all know, the Ramadan programs are ending next week, and I'd like to thank Sheikh Hamza Saudagar for conducting these awesome programs every night online, whether it's Quran recitation, Dua Iftitah, speeches, and then finally the 6 nights of Laylatul Qadr to accommodate for the Muqalladeen of Ayatollah Sistani and Ayatollah Khamenei. So thank you, Sheikh Hamza Saudagar, for conducting these programs. These were really, under the circumstances, spiritual programs, and we really appreciate it. As you all know, all of the centers require the attendees to make donations so that we can run the centers. Al-Wilaya is no different. We still have our operational costs on a monthly basis that we need to make. So we're reaching out to you on these nights to go to dig deeper and help us out. We have, and you can see a ticker running on the bottom of your screen, there's a GoFundMe account that has been created. It's a campaign until the goal is reached. Unfortunately, so far we've only reached 25% of the goal. So with your help, inshallah, we can fulfill the needs here. If you're watching this video after the campaign is over or after the Ramadan is over for this year, There is a donate button on Al Walaya's website. It's al-walayah.org. There's a donate button there. You can donate, make a donation there. Or you can leave a comment on our YouTube channel and we'll get back to you as soon as you possibly can. So as you all know, Al Walaya takes donations and khums, and we're, you know, help us out in this hour of need for us so that we can have regular programs, spiritual programs, even after Ramadan. And you all know that after Ramadan, there are programs here Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and we'll continue to have those programs. There will be a special announcement for Quds coming up. We are not going to forget our brothers and sisters in Palestine and other parts of the world, but specifically on this coming Friday is Quds Day, and we will be sharing more information with you shortly. And at the end, I'd like to thank Sheikh Hamza Sodagar for his leadership, for his inspiration, for taking this community and the youth of this community and really making this a very special experience. Thank you, Agha, from the bottom of our heart. Salawat bar Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Thank you.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين بارئ الخلائق أجمعين باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening the return of our Imam, let's recite the salawat. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guiding us through the nights of Qadr and the nights of preparation for Laylatul Qadr. And we hope that he has answered our prayers and that we will see that in the year to come. Regarding dua, there's a certain mindset that needs to be there, a certain understanding. When a person is moving into dua, supplication, and requesting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for different things. And there's a certain mindset we're told that we're supposed to be having after we make that dua, when we have requested Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for things. We've got to have a certain understanding regarding that dua. When we're going to Allah, as we find in the du'as of the Ahlul Bayt, our approach towards our du'a is that it's deficient, it's not worthy of being heard, it's got problems, I don't know if it's going to be heard, I don't know if it's going to be responded to because of my deficiencies on my end. And so we have, as the verses of the Qur'an say, or I'm not sure if this wording exactly is found in the Qur'an, رَهْبَةً وَرَغْبَةً. There's this fear, and then there's this رَغْبَة. There's this hope, and there's this want and desire towards what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has and can give. It's like this combination of shyness and worry that I'm going to be rejected because of my deficiencies, and hope towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of what He has and what He can give in His greatness. And because of that greatness, overlooking my shortcomings, my problems, and giving it. That's the approach of someone who's going towards Allah for a supplication in terms of looking at their supplication, because there's other elements that are there as well. For example, we're told to do ilhah, Okay, insist, beg. That's a certain approach towards supplication and dua. The other thing that we are told to do is to feel the desperation that the only one that can help you is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's other elements as well, but regarding the dua and its acceptance, this is the mindset that we are told to have. We're going in with this fear and having hope and considering ourselves and our dua not being worthy of being responded to by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's really the fact of the matter. Who are we for our dua to be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And the part that has to do with Allah responding to that dua, though, no, that's very strong. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Almighty, and He is Ar-Rahman. Kana bil mu'minina rahima. So He doesn't have to, but I have a lot of hope that He can. This is when I'm going to Him. And the reason why we insist on that part, that He doesn't have to, but I have a lot of hope, is that we should not have an expectation. Expectation has another element that I'll try to explain if Allah gives us the tawfiq to explain that and the time to, inshallah, do that. I'll explain a little bit. We need to avoid developing an expectation. There's an element within expectation that is different than seeing the greatness of God, His ability to give, His generosity, His mercy, and all the great names of Allah that we should remember when we're thinking of our relationship with Him in the context of dua. Expectation has another element that we'll have to discuss. That's a problem. We have to remove that. We've got to make sure it doesn't come to that. When we're approaching dua, after dua is done, it becomes a little more delicate. We've got to balance between two things. One is, we are told we need to be certain that the prayer is heard and He has answered the prayer. Okay. We should not have a doubt, even a shadow of a doubt, that He has heard and is responding to the dua. Should have no doubt in that. If we have doubt in the dua being heard and Him responding to it after we have made the dua, we are doubting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and doubting His promise and doubting His truthfulness. All of those are very negative traits, very negative thought processes that we could have. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي. If my servants ask you of me, who are these servants? Anyone, all people. These are ibad. Idha sa'alak, not only prophets and imams, that their du'as are on a different level, their understanding of Allah is on a different level. Ibad, just general, average, someone like me is included in that. Idha sa'alaka ibadi anni, fa'inni qareeb. Ujibu da'wat ad-da'a idha da'an. I'm near. What is that saying? Is that, you know, you don't have to worry about shouting or... No, if you speak to Allah, He will hear you. Ni qareeb, ujibu da'wat ad-da' idha da'an. Make that dua, I will respond to it. That's a promise, and it's a statement from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His book. And that's only one of the statements by Allah telling us of that fact and promising us of His response. If I doubt that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has heard, I'm doubting Him being Sami'. If I doubt He's going to grant, I'm doubting His mercifulness. And I'm doubting Him fulfilling a promise that He has made. Both of those are there. All of those are very wrong things. We should not have a shadow of a doubt that the dua was heard and it is responded. Ajaba, God has responded to that dua. We should not have any doubt regarding that. There are a couple of problems that come with saying that, that we need to make sure we understand and we overcome these two problems. One problem that initially comes to mind is that, well, I don't see it. I don't see the result. I asked for something. And well, for some of the things that I asked for, it's not even to happen in the near future. I asked for something that's going to be ages from now or at a later time. And then for some of them, there's a certain time frame I have in mind. I wait for it. The time comes, I don't receive it. I don't get it. Then how am I supposed to believe that he's responding to my dua, to my prayer, and it was heard, it was responded, he responded to my dua, and I didn't get what I asked for? That's one problem that becomes an obstacle and causes us to have doubts regarding dua. We have doubts regarding asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have doubts about him responding to it. And each of those doubts creates a lot of problems for us. This is one problem that needs to be dealt with. The other problem is, if I'm going to be told that it's a promise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he's going to fulfill, then I start having this expectation. I start feeling this expectation for it to happen. And then when it doesn't happen, besides the doubts that are created, I get angry at Allah because my expectation was not met. This is a different thing. The doubt is one thing. I have doubt regarding those promises. Is this true? Is this not true? Is this a game? Is this a joke? Is there a God? What's going on here? He said he's going to respond. The time came. I asked for whatever it was, and it didn't happen. Okay, that's one thing, the doubts and stuff. The other thing for somebody who has worked on themselves, they've tried to remove that doubt. Then when they reach that point, they've strengthened that iman. I'm 100% sure God's going to give me, and so on, all these du'as, verses. And then I don't realize that turned into an expectation. When I don't see it, that's it. I flip. I get angry. I don't feel like praying anymore. Forget about supplication. I don't feel like doing my prayers right anymore. I don't feel like doing what God has told me to do anymore. I have trouble doing that. I'm angry at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what happens. Let's be honest with ourselves. We do feel, we don't like to say it, but that's what it is. We're angry. We get like that. These are two problems that if we don't resolve, if we don't get an answer for this, or we don't develop an understanding regarding how these things can go together, that there's a promise, he will respond to your prayer, and at the same time, what an expectation is. I don't want to develop an expectation, and when I see that I have an expectation and I get angry, how to deal with that? And the other thing is, okay, if there is a promise, then why didn't it come true? Shouldn't that create a doubt? Shouldn't that tell us that, no, it's not true, or it's not a promise every time? And I've seen some ulama, some speakers have tried to explain that God doesn't necessarily respond to your calls. Well, the verse says, إِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّعَاءِ إِذَا دَعَانِ. I will answer their call if they call upon me, if they request. I'll answer that. Ujibu. I will also mention, because this is not a simple and basic topic, we're addressing it in a simple way, and we are addressing it from a certain aspect, from a certain dimension, that we're hoping to resolve a certain problem or a couple of problems that come with the true belief in regards to dua. That's the angle and the perspective that we're dealing with this. There are multiple angles and perspectives related to dua. We do have a hadith that talk about conditions of acceptance of dua, conditions of acceptance of repentance. Repentance is a form of dua. We have hadith on one hand that says, if you doubt after repenting that God has forgiven you, you're mushrik or you're kafir or something like that. It's very serious language. That's on one hand. On the other hand, we have hadith that says, if you didn't do tawbah in this way, it's not accepted. Well, is it that if I do tawbah and then I doubt if it's accepted, that I'm going to hell because of that? Or is it that I didn't have the conditions and it's not going to be responded? How does this work? Each of those means a different thing. We have got to try to develop the understanding, the hadith of the Ahlul Bayt, the verses of the Quran, the muhkam and the mutashabih. These are not simple matters. It's not something that we sit back and while we're sipping our tea, you know, just hear a couple of words and as a just normal conversation. These are the dynamics, the rules, the laws of God governing the universe that He has created. It's not something to just treat lightly and say, oh, this guy said this, that guy said that, oh, they contradict him. No, this hadith is there, that hadith is there, that verse is there, this verse is there. We have a responsibility to go and try to understand what this whole thing means. What each of those words, phrases, sentences, passages of verses and sayings of the Ahlul Bayt, what this means and what that means in light of one another. We're addressing only one angle, and so we're going to try to make it brief. In terms of strengthening the belief that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala definitely responds, beyond a shadow of a doubt, and we should not have any doubt regarding that, at the same time, not developing expectation. The problem that comes with strengthening that faith is either developing an expectation or hitting the obstacle of when we see that it didn't happen, how can I believe that He responded if I don't see results? Those two problems are specifically what we are addressing and dealing with. Regarding the problem of not seeing the dua, the supplication, the request, the call that I made to Allah and asked Him for something, for that to be seen, if I don't see it, how can I have that belief? This is going to be a little more fundamental and will help us with the other one and understanding it and the way we feel in terms of expectation and how we deal with that. It's going to help in that as well. So we'll address this one first. It's a very simple answer that we have a number of hadith talking about what, you know, expounding upon in different angles of this one answer to the question. And that is, God never said, I will give you what you asked for when you asked for it. He never made that promise. He said, إِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّعَى إِذَا دَعَانِ. I respond. Okay, I respond. You asked me for something, I respond. Okay. The All-Merciful definitely responded. Did He promise that He's going to give you exactly what you asked for at a time that you asked for? There is no such a response. There's no such a promise, excuse me. Nowhere to be found. There's not a single hadith or a verse. It says you need to be certain that the dua comes true. The dua comes true. Not that my request is given the way I asked for. That's never to be found. That's a wrong interpretation some speakers have given. They think that istijabatul dua means that God is going to give you that thing. It doesn't say istijaba means I will answer your call. When you have someone who is all wise, if you think of it in this way, think of your child. So every time you tell your child, anytime you have a need, you have an issue, come and tell me, I'll take care of it. The child comes at 12 a.m. and says, I want a big chocolate bar. Like, okay, you promised. If I come to you, you're going to answer my call. You're going to come at 12 a.m. and ask me for a huge chocolate bar. Of course I'm not going to give it to you. Well, that doesn't mean that I'm going against my promise. The promise is if you need something, I'll give it to you for your good. I'm not going to let you destroy yourself. That's being kind and being good to you as well. But I'll keep that in mind. You ask for a chocolate bar at 12 a.m., midnight, a time that you're not supposed to have that chocolate, I'll keep that in mind. At a time where it's good for you, you're not even thinking about it, I'll give you the best chocolate bar you've never experienced. A parent will do that way. This is a parent with a wisdom not even comparable to prophets and imams, much less anything above that. And subhanahu wa ta'ala, for anyone to compare their wisdom and their knowledge and their understanding to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What are we compared to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge and wisdom, to even compare ourselves to a parent and child relationship? We do not understand in that comparison, the comparison between the knowledge of a parent and a child. The comparison between our knowledge and God's knowledge is not like the comparison between the ratio, okay, the percentage. Let's use math here. Okay. The percentage of the knowledge of a child compared to a parent is a certain percentage. Put 0.1. You want to be really, not give them any credit whatsoever. 0.001% of the parent's wisdom the child has. We don't have 0.0 with a bar on top of it compared to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have no knowledge. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ He knows and you don't know. Okay? That analogy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us, and we express that, this child that gives that, a good parent, they take that request of the child into consideration. They ask it at the wrong time. Okay? But they did ask it. There's a difference between a child that doesn't come and ask and a child that does come and ask. There's a difference. When you do come and ask, at another time you get that chocolate, the other child says, why didn't you give me a chocolate? You didn't ask. You come and ask too, I'll give you too. He asked. He asked last night, I couldn't give it to him last night. Now he's come, you know, this time has come, this is a good time for him, I'll give it to him. The person who doesn't ask and the person who asks are not the same. They're not the same. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised that He's going to answer your call. And let me put this. We have some of the ahadith that you've heard. I want to put it in this context. We have hadith that on the day of judgment, when the believers see what God has given them, instead of what I asked, what I had in mind in the dunya as such a great thing that I wanted, and I asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I see on the day of judgment, He did respond. I didn't see it then. Now I'm seeing it. Now that I see it, the hadith says you see it so much better that at that point I couldn't even imagine this, that I wish that even the ones that what I asked for He gave me, that He wouldn't have given me, so that I would get something like this. That hadith is explaining this idea, this point. Okay, He responds. It doesn't, those hadith don't say He didn't respond. No, ajaba, istajaba, He does istajaba to dua. He does give. He gave at that point. The moment you made the dua, He put that there. You're not going to see it necessarily. Okay, it's like, again, using material analogies, like the father or the mother has that chocolate bar or whatever. They set it aside or they order it off Amazon or whatever at that point. And then it's going to arrive a couple days later. Of course, in this analogy, this is flawed because we don't have control over that. You know, we can't make Amazon deliver it tomorrow at the time that I want for my child. We are incapable. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala measures everything exactly the way it's supposed to be. Right, that dua is responded to. So this means, let me summarize this. The notion that if I don't see what I asked God to give me, if I don't see it at the time that I wanted it, that He did not respond to my dua, that's a misunderstanding. That's an incorrect understanding. That is based on a wrong understanding of God's promise. God's promise was, I will respond to your dua, not that I will give you exactly what you asked for at the time you asked for. There's no such a promise. You misunderstood. The other thing is the second point and the second problem that is a really big problem. Again, especially when we understand this first point, when you realize that God has given more than you asked for. In the same area, if you ask for a chocolate bar, He's not going to give you, I don't know, a pet, okay, a fish tank. He's going to get you a chocolate bar. You thought of a Snickers, He's going to give you, I don't know, some Swiss or Swedish or Norwegian or some crazy chocolate out there that you've never tasted before. He's not going to give you something. What you asked for, He's going to give you more. All Right? And because of your dua, he has responded. When we take that into consideration, and then we realize that when I don't see what I asked for at the time I asked for, I get angry at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that becomes a lot more shameful. I should start feeling ashamed of myself, you know. Who the heck am I? He has given. I shouldn't expect, but worse than that, he gave, and I am angry at him. He's given me something better than what I asked for. I'm angry at him. That's the problem with that aside, that goes back to the first point. The problem with expectation, brothers and sisters, is that the root of it, expectation, stems from shirk. Okay. Remember we said when we are making dua, we should have this thought process that I am not worthy of receiving this. When we hear that God definitely answers, without realizing, we start holding God accountable. From what part? From who's the one that's going to hold God accountable? I am holding God accountable if he doesn't. And that's why I get angry. You said you're going to do this. You didn't do it. Holding God accountable. Who the hell am I to hold Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accountable? I am considering myself someone, not as an abd. An abd has nothing of themselves. I don't have anything. My very existence is not mine. There is nothing here. This nothingness is holding, is thinking they're holding God. Again, God is already given. That's a wrong judgment too. But besides that, the very idea of judging, regardless or not considering right now that it's a wrong judgment of God, that's a different point. Judgment itself, holding God accountable, that means I consider myself an authority. This is one of the worst forms of shirk. One of the worst forms of shirk. Not the type of shirk that causes us not to be Muslim. No, the type of shirk that doesn't allow us to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The type of shirk that doesn't allow us to have ikhlas. We want ikhlas. Ikhlas means this, removing layers of shirk. Okay? Shirk is the opposite of ikhlas. And ikhlas is the opposite of shirk. You want to have ikhlas in your amal, in your existence, in your thoughts. This expectation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala needs to go away. If we don't see it happening, now I'm speaking from experience, I can't help it. I feel bad. I do feel angry. What do I do with that? When it comes, La ilaha illa ant, subhanaka inni kuntu min adh-dhalimin. When we make these mistakes, God reminds us. As soon as we're reminded, don't just brush it on the carpet or just try to forget about it. Recognize, God, I made a mistake. I'm sorry. You have given me, and who am I to ask you and tell you that why didn't you give me? Both of those are wrong. And it just multiplies the wrongness of that. Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, help us through the sayings of the Ahlul Bayt, through the verses of the Quran, to try to understand these important matters. These are going to cause us to either ascend or remain stagnant, or God forbid, digress. We've had that. People have, unfortunately, left the path in certain ways, some entirely because of that. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us. رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً. It's a beautiful dua from the Quran. Oh Allah, لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا. You have guided us. You have brought me to make this dua. You have brought me to understand. I need to trust. If I make the dua, you're definitely going to respond. Now, please, don't allow me to go astray with my stupidity and my ignorance, my shortcomings, and go off path, divert from the path, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hasten the return of our imam. We ask Allah to help us become his true and close companions. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help all those who are helping his cause, who are helping Islam, especially our ulama, our maraja, and more so our leader. We ask Allah to forgive us all of our sins, to forgive our parents, our grandparents, our relatives, all believers, those who are alive, those who've passed away. We ask Allah to grant all of us and all believers worldwide their hajat, their needs, their requests. Relieve all those who are suffering from hardships, difficulties, illnesses. Relieve all of us, Ya Allah, from this pandemic. Provide or show us the cure that you have already prepared for this illness, and show the believers, allow them to discover it first and then share it with the rest of the world so everyone can benefit. We ask Allah to relieve all the people of the world of the oppressions they're facing. Bin Nabi wa Alih. Rahimallah man qara al-Fatiha ma'as-salawat. Allahumma salli.